Today's podcast is sponsored by TrueCar. In order to feel comfortable that you're getting a fair price, you need to get pricing context. Information that empowers you to feel confident. With TrueCar, you can see what other people in your local market pay for a car that you want. And from there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Using TrueCar, you'll easily find the car that you want. And then TrueCar can show you what other people are paying in your area for that car, and you'll know what a fair price is so you can feel confident, armed with the actual factual pricing information. Once you register, you can see the real pricing on the actual factual inventory. This is competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for a vehicle that's on their lot. It's pricing that you'll see before you go to the dealership so you can feel confident when you show up. And with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing to enjoy a quick, easy car buying experience. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process too when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers, and best of all, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off the MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here on a special Monday edition of News AF, talking about the most interesting news stories for the week of May 8th, 2017.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the single news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Factual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. Here we are on a Monday. Surprise, everybody. Here we are. Getting ready to go, and a busy week for the panel, myself included. I'll be heading up to Toronto tomorrow for our first ever RHAP event in Canada. But first, we have a lot of News AF to talk through. Here is a man who makes such a strong impression on all the young children. Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
I'm good. I feel like you automatically signed me up for some type of watch list with that statement.
No, me and Danny were talking about how our kids just have so many fond memories of you.
Yeah, it's true. That's
that are burned
so
into
Danny's
brain.
Kids. Yeah, Danny's kids remember me hurting my ankle before they were born.
Yes.
And which I did. And then they also remember me getting upset when the ice cream truck that I rented and scheduled didn't show up to Bergen's birthday.
Very upset.
They were at the birthday party with me. Rob's kids remember me letting his oldest pee in a bush at a hotel pool, at a condo pool that we were renting in Santa Monica. And he thinks that that's my house. Yes. So he remembers me having a swimming pool.
And he remembers fondly that you have like a willy-nilly rule book when it comes to public urination.
Correct. Which isn't that far off.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then, of course, back with us once again, the eye in the sky, Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
Doing pretty good. It sounds like kids might make great witnesses in a court of law.
Yes.
I mean, like elephant-like memories.
Yeah, really great.
Only
no, we were at Tyson Apostle's pool. Mm-hmm. We were at Tyson's pool. He owned the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, I think the whole
he
thing
called
would be
an ice cream truck.
Point.
It didn't ever come. We were very disappointed. I remember that
kids were peeing in the bushes,
and I had to pee so bad that Tyson told me to just go in the bushes.
Yeah.
I once had my nephew. This is pretty funny. This is like a real like lesson in karma. Almost immediately, he was probably like 6 or 7. I took him to the aquarium. And he wanted to. He had some gum he was chewing. He wanted to spit it out, and I was like, "Just spit it out on the ground." And he's like, "No, I can't." And he refused to spit it out on the ground. I was like, "Throw it under a car. Just throw it under my car because that's a place that people won't step."
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Okay." But he was like really having a hard time. He's like, "Are you going to like tell my mom if I do this or what?" And I was like, "No, just toss it under there." So he throws it under there. We walk into a restaurant. First thing we do is we sit down at the table. He grabs the table and underneath it is a bunch of gum stuck to the underside of the table that he sticks his hand in. And I was like, "Oh, well, that's your lesson for you. You shouldn't have thrown your gum under the car like I told you to do."
Gross. Wow, instant karma.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah. Poor kid. He'll never litter again.
Never.
Okay.
If he learned, it might have been, I mean, he was 6 or 7. I don't know if he even understood.
Yeah, but he was with you. So obviously it's probably ingrained.
Yeah, that's true.
Tyson does have that effect on everybody. Danny, how was your weekend? You recovering? Do you have a case of the Mondays?
It was 85 degrees and I had no air conditioning upstairs. Not because the air conditioning didn't work, but because I forgot to turn it on. Because I thought it was broken and it was not. So I laid all night, Saturday night, just sweating.
Wait, why did you think it was broken if it wasn't broken?
The guys are here replacing all of our air conditioning.
Yeah.
And so I thought they had taken it apart. And then after I spent the whole night sweating it out, like it was very cleansing. It was a cleansing sleep. But the next morning when I was mowing the lawn, I looked over at it and I just, I went to my wife and said, "You're going to think I'm stupid, but I have to admit that the air conditioning does work."
Would have been fine. Tyson, were you okay during the heat wave?
Yeah. I mean, I'm an inside guy now, so I ventured outside actually to ride my road bike for a couple hours on Saturday, but it was like so windy that it was like, it was really powerful wind. So you couldn't feel that 85 degrees, but yesterday was pretty warm. We took Bergen to the park, and then I just stood around in the shade while she, while I was like, "Oh, I should probably get her out of the sun. She's probably getting sunburned."
Got to be careful with that.
Yeah,
a big hat helps also.
Yeah. Oh, I've got plenty of big hats.
Do you know a guy that can get a big hat?
A seven-incher?
Oh yeah, 7-inch tall or 7-inch wide. Either one, I got them.
Girth or length? Yeah, I can appreciate.
I can't do. I could probably get both done, but I don't have one that has both of those currently.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, Tyson, I want to start to get into some of our stories this week. Now, tell me, does Bergen have an issue with does she want to eat boogers?
Not yet. I feel like maybe she's just a little bit. Sometimes she accidentally does as they drizzle down her face when she's like teething or got a cold. But she's not. I wouldn't say she readily seeks that out.
Well, let me just say that Dominic is very interested in the culinary delights from his nose.
So are we going to play this podcast back when he has his first date to his first date, like his prom date in sophomore year?
Yes, we'll show this episode from News AF May 8th, 2017. Yeah, very into the boogers. Danny, how about your kids?
My kids don't eat them, but they do enjoy wiping them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And my kid on his armrest on his side of the car has basically an apothecary. It's like a medicine cabinet of boogers just crusted. And the other day I tried to shame him, which is Tyson's favorite tactic.
Yeah.
So I decided to use his favorite tactic and shame him by pointing out to one of his cousins, "Dude, look at this. Look at this crusted booger collection."
Did it work?
Beck has. Oh, yeah. My kid was mortified, but he still probably wipes his boogers there.
Okay. Well, look, don't knock the booger eating too much, because a Canadian biochemist has a new study that says it is an evolutionary backed part of life, that it is a way to boost your immune system's protective powers.
I'm out.
You're out.
So I thought about it. I was like, first of all, this guy was probably caught eating his own boogers like at like a science convention. And he's like, "Actually," and then he went and found the proof where he's like, I got to figure this out. Why wouldn't it boost your immunity? There's germs and it's your toxins pushing shit out. Of course, there's pollen in it from like getting filtered through breathing. This is a good thing. So then he was like, "I do it because it's healthy for us. Obviously, here's the reasons." And so I feel like that's probably it. And then as you were telling the story, I was like, even if it was like found that it was like the best nutritional thing for you, could I bring myself to pick my nose and then stick it in my mouth? And I'd have to say probably not.
Tyson, these studies are backed by Harvard and MIT.
MIT, this is the science school?
Mm-hmm.
Those
are reputable sources, a rich reservoir of good bacteria.
Hmm.
That's what I mean. My kid, that armrest is just, it's a life-saving collection of bacteria.
As the apocalypse happens, you guys get in your car, turn on your
when the outbreak
bioweapons grade filter. What?
When the outbreak hits?
Yeah, when the outbreak hits, get in your car, turn on your bioweapons grade filter in your car, leave it running,
mm-hmm.
start scarfing the bugs,
Scarf in the books.
No, this is what I might do.
Yeah.
I might put my kids to work since they're already picking their nose and wiping boogers everywhere.
Oh, and sell them?
Yeah, scrape off the booger dust into tiny little capsules
yeah.
and sell that.
Here's what I don't understand. Okay,
have
so-
Goop back that. Booger yes. dust.
Yes, oh, literal goop, finally, from them. But
yeah.
This is what I don't understand. So I understand like how breastfeeding works, where the mom has like these immunities built up, and she passes that along by breastfeeding to the baby. I would yeah. understand if the mom was feeding her boogers to the kid, but I don't understand how your own boogers help you get any immunity yeah. to anything.
This is
it's already yours. It's a closed system.
This is my common sense. Yeah, yeah, but this is where my logic is coming into play, and I'm trying to just like make it work. As you inhale pollens, you inhale toxins, you inhale germs that are in the sky. They get stuck in your mucus. As your mucus comes out and that person eats that, then they then subject their immune systems to these things in small quantities and build up the immunity to these items.
Yeah.
I like how Rob's painted them. It's kind of a mama bird thing. Maybe moms should be picking their nose while they're feeding their babies and just
snotting in their mouth.
Mm-hmm. Put a little bit of snot in there, mix it in with some breast milk. I bet you that's like the elixir of life right there.
Probably. So just to give you a little more background, and this is, I think, more of a theory than a study that this is being proposed by Scott Knapper, who is an associate professor of biochemistry at the University of Saskatchewan. Home of the great Scott St. Pierre. He is saying that because kids are always trying to eat these things, he thinks it's sort of like instinctual. That's why yeah. they taste so good.
My kids do lots of things mm-hmm. that cannot be beneficial to the human race.
Right.
Like yeah. trusting kids to teach us behaviors that help us survive seems like a bad way to run your life.
Scott Knapper also says by consuming the pathogens caught within the mucus, it could be a way to teach your immune system about what it's surrounded with. But
dude, that was where I went with it.
Yeah.
I'm not even a scientist and I'm coming up with the same thing this guy is, but quicker. Are you kidding me, dude?
Right.
Oh, geez. I feel like I could get a scholarship to MIT and Harvard probably. Is that the two places that back these?
Yeah.
Has anybody looked at earwax? Is that also a similar source of bacterial delight?
No. It's different because you're not inhaling so much stuff through there, so you're not getting all the pathogens stuck in the mucus there. You're getting probably some, but I think
it's a lower dose.
Yeah, or no dose maybe. Maybe it's just, yeah.
You know, this is one of those things like the whole myth, and I don't know if it's a myth, maybe it's real, that if you have athlete's foot, you should piss on your feet in the shower. I think that this is just for people who want to act like animals, like eat their boogers, piss on their feet, I don't know, crap in public. It's like, that's
gamers.
Just a way of justifying their behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gamers. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't think gamers meet that, unless you're talking about South Park's episode of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Don't piss them off. That is a constituent.
The gamers off?
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
The backlash will be too great.
Yeah.
Piss might have some great properties, might cure acne.
Well, there are people that tell you to drink urine also.
Yeah, shamans.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was that lady that said that semen was really helping her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So
she never got sick.
Who knew that we are gigantic pharmacy factories
pumping
out all sorts of great stuff?
Here we are farming and trying to get our food all that way, when if we just ate our own semen and boogers and breast milk and whatever else, we'd have more than enough to sustain ourselves naturally without ever having to earn money to go to the grocery store.
But like Rob said, you can't do it yourself. You need other people's semen and boogers and urine.
Oh, well, I think that would actually make sense, though, because if you were taking like sort of like the path, it's almost like a vaccination of that, like somebody else has already built up a resistance to this bacteria, to this virus. You ingest that and sort of like work it into your system in a very small dose. Could that potentially be of benefit?
Let's start this app. It's called bodily fluid sharing swap. Yeah, we'll call it swap. Right. Fluid swap.
Right.
And you just sign up and you get somebody else's semen and boogers and urine. And then you're maximizing the effects of all these great human medicines.
Okay. It sounds like the scene in Demolition Man. Where Sandra Bullock and Sylvester Stallone.
You referenced Demolition Man quite a bit, Tyson.
Yeah.
That's because there's so much great stuff in Demolition Man.
Tyson, if you want to do a Demolition Man podcast one day, I'll be up for it.
Okay.
We can
see how much stuff has come true from their predictions in the last however many years.
Right, I'm still waiting for the three shells.
Yeah. I don't even know that part.
Oh, it's important.
I just remember the when they crash the car and the whole car fills up with foam.
Yeah.
And I remember when they decide to make sweet love to each other. Mm-hmm. And she puts on the virtual reality goggles and Sylvester Stallone's like, wait, no, I'm going to show you how to do it the old fashioned way. And she's like, no, that's gross with all the fluid and goo and stuff. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
They didn't have this research to help justify all the fluids and goo.
Yeah. They didn't, and that was the future.
Yeah, well,
we're ahead of the future now, guys.
Here, this is just a theory. This is just a theory proposed. Okay,
we won't know. We need a lot of people to be ingesting these things,
right?
We'll have
we need a volunteer for this study. Okay, yeah. I think that many listeners are probably begging us to move on to another subject. So let's discuss this story sent to us by Brian O'Connell. And says that Einstein Brothers Bagels have come up with a brand new bagel, a caffeinated bagel dubbed the Espresso Buzz Bagel. Tyson, are you interested in this? A coffee bagel?
Yeah, a coffee bagel with a booger smear.
No, wow. That would be a good place to, that like a good distribution system. Cream cheese would be good.
Yeah, I think coffee is probably a nice flavor for a bagel if you have, you know, it goes well with savory, it goes well with sweet. It's a good, and it's probably just a hint of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Rob? I would try it.
I would try it, but do I want a coffee bagel and I'm also drinking coffee with a bagel? Could I get over-caffeinated?
No, it says the bagel only contains 32 milligrams of caffeine.
Oh,
teeny tiny.
Yeah. So what is it then? It's just like coffee flavor? I'm drinking coffee. Why do I need a bagel? What's wrong with the flavors that they already have of bagels?
Well, people are getting bored.
Bored?
Rob.
Yeah.
Rob, if we're not making progress, stagnation is digression.
Well, let me tell you something else.
Okay.
Einstein Brothers is not a great bagel either.
Whoa. They're from New York, aren't they?
No. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
None of these chain bagel stores are worth anything.
Einstein's used to be the bagel shop in Utah.
Yeah.
Like when I was younger.
Right.
And people thought that bagels were healthy for you because they weren't donuts.
Right.
Do you remember that craze when they're like, oh, it's a circle thing with a hole in it, but it's not a donut, so it's good for you.
Yeah. I don't know where the good bagels end. That I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure if you know, south of Philadelphia, you can get a good bagel. I don't know about Florida, the Eastern Seaboard, but I know west of the Mississippi, definitely not. Chicago,
nowhere.
It's debatable.
We got
bagel.
We got a bagel snob on our hands.
I am a bagel snob.
So this is a terrible combination of coffee snobbery and bagel snobbery.
That's right.
It's a perfect storm.
I have
snobbery.
Both things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to make everybody angry with this bagel.
Well, the reviewers say that it tastes insanely bitter.
Oh,
and
too bitter?
And another guy said tastes like chewy coffee.
Mm. Oh, chewy coffee? Oh, okay. That sounds great.
Rob.
What?
So in L.A., there's no bagel stores that you would ever go to get a bagel?
Well, there are ones that I do go to, and some are worse than others, but like the best bagel is probably comparable to like the worst bagel that you get in New York.
Well, then why don't you just go for a different food source if every day you go to the bagel store and you're just disappointed?
I don't go to the bagel store every day. I don't know why that you have that impression of me, that I'm just at the bagel store every day, just very disappointed. Like Sisyphus,
sometimes
pushing the boulder up the hill, me going to the bagel store every day and being unsatisfied.
Sometime Rob deigns to go to the inferior bagel store out of necessity and not want.
Okay, right.
Okay. And to also remind himself of the New York bagels.
And to remind the employees that work there how bad their bagels are.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are okay.
Hey, how are the Toronto bagels? Does anybody know? Puya, are you watching? Can we get an update on Toronto bagels?
I bet Toronto bagels are probably okay. They're pretty close to that area over there.
Yeah, that's east.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I think that coffee cream cheese might be the better way to go rather than a coffee bagel.
Actually, yeah.
Coffee flavored cream cheese?
Yeah, because again, I can control the amount of the cream cheese on the piece of bagel. Again, if it's a little bitter or whatever, I feel like that the coffee and cream is like a nice mix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we get Sean Falconer to contact the patent office?
Yeah.
Just contact the patent office on our behalf.
Yeah, sure. Because I feel like there's not a lot of like coffee, like grain products. Like there's no coffee bread or coffee crackers or coffee cookies or anything like that.
Not that you know of.
Not that I know of. That's been invented yet. Yeah.
But they could do coffee. They could do coffee chips too. Like you know
like
how they make those chips out of beans. Yeah, they make like tortilla chips out of beans.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they use coffee beans? And then you can dip it in.
So you're inventing
creamer.
A whole new thing. You're inventing some sort of like coffee tortilla chip.
Yes,
yeah, coffee tortilla.
Okay,
and a coffee tortilla, and then you can have it in your breakfast bagel. Forgo, in your breakfast burrito. So you have a breakfast burrito with a coffee tortilla. Forgo the coffee, then you can one hand the whole thing. Then you can be on your phone with one hand, your breakfast burrito, coffee, tortilla in the other, and driving to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And be awake and alert the whole time.
Oh,
and
never
that's how you justify driving with things in both hands, that you're extra alert.
Yeah.
Coffee.
Yeah.
You could skip the coffee. If they could make a strong enough bagel, then you could drive with one hand and then just be eating the bagel, and you wouldn't have to have coffee and bagel and drive the
correct.
Car.
Correct. Yeah. That's the whole idea.
Okay. I don't think that's the whole idea.
It's part of the idea.
Just skip.
It's
skip
our
it
idea.
Yeah, it's our idea. Yeah, that's not Einstein's idea.
No, this is our idea.
So when are we opening up Bagels AF?
Does anybody know about how to get food handler stuff and licensing and whatever?
And machines.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like machines. We're the idea, man. We need somebody who's a doer.
Right. We need to be like some sort of like a Shark Tank type, but we're not really going to give you that much money. We're just going to give you ideas and then people can go out and execute it.
It's and like, then we get 50% of the profits, but if you actually lose money on the deal, we don't.
Yeah, it's almost like a reverse Shark Tank where we're the sharks, but we're also the people pitching ideas. So we need people to just stand in front of us with like suitcases full of cash.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, what do you guys have for me
reverse
today?
Reverse Shark Tank. So that's another idea of business idea of ours is to create a show called Reverse Shark Tank.
Right. We just need like aimless, wealthy entrepreneurs to come and meet with us. And then I guess we could sort of like bounce ideas like, well, what are you good at? What are you good at?
Yeah.
Like, what can you do? And then we'll come up with a business and then they should go execute it.
And then we're like the idea sharks, not the money sharks.
Right.
So when they come in, they're like, welcome to the sharks. And they're super nervous to meet us because obviously we have these great ideas.
Right.
And they're intimidated
and
by
we'll
how
say,
cool our ideas
okay,
are.
Put the briefcase down. Open it. Okay. How much money did you bring with you? Okay. $75,000. Okay. What can we do with $75,000?
Yeah. List your talents,
yes,
sir.
What
this
do you do?
This is a great show idea for us, at least.
Yeah, for us. And then we give them the idea. We come up with the business name and everything so that by the time the episode airs, they can already have the business started and explode from all the publicity from the show.
Right.
So we'll be like, okay, so this is called Coffee Tortilla Brothers. And then they're like, okay. And then they go and execute it all. And then by the time the show airs, we've already got the bagels on the shelves. They move to top shelf. Eye level at the grocery stores as the episode airs, boom, home run.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I love it.
Well, the first pitch we just did. I mean, we need someone right now to give us the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's our first idea.
I know Mark Burnett listens to this show from time to time.
Yeah. So this will be a new twist on that. It'll be a new spinoff of Shark Tank. Okay. What's the name of our show?
Reverse Shark Tank. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Or it could be Bizarro Shark Tank.
Bizarro Shark Tank? What do you like, Danny?
I like Reverse Shark Tank.
Dolphin Tank?
Yeah,
I mean, is that the opposite of a shark?
No, the opposite of shark would be something that lives out of water.
Like what? Sloth tank? I mean, that has a tank, double entendre.
Sloth tank?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sloth tank could probably work. Is that the exact opposite of a shark?
Kind of feels like the opposite of a shark.
Right.
Okay.
It's not an alpha predator. It's got to be near the bottom.
Yeah, it's also, you know, implies laziness also, which is us, that we, you know, are not going to go out and start our own ideas. We're just waiting for somebody to come to us with a bunch of money, like with, you know, ready to execute on what we're too lazy to, you know, we could think up the idea, but then we're not going to actually follow through with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Sloth tank. But also, like, it wouldn't be a tank at that point. It would be a terrarium. So we could do a sloth terrarium.
Sloth terrarium? That's a little hard to spell.
How about sloth box?
Sloth box?
Sloth box.
Well, I think maybe go back to sloth tank.
You don't like sloth box?
I like sloth box just fine.
Enter the sloth box with your money.
But the problem is that people won't assume that it's something related to Shark Tank, which it is by almost exactly opposite. So there has to be some relation to Shark Tank.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess it's between sloth tank and sloth terrarium.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about another food story. Charlie Jenkins sends us this story about a limited edition new waffles and syrup edition of Oreos, allegedly released in certain locations. Danny, are you in on this?
What is with Oreos? Are they bored?
Yeah.
Do they have some mad scientist just in the kitchen cooking up all sorts of weird Oreos?
Yeah.
Oh, yuck. I can't wait for the booger Oreo to come. I can wait for
coming.
The booger Oreo one to come out. It's coming. It's on its way.
Yeah.
I like this. I like the – if it's done with the golden Oreos, I feel like the syrup would add a nice flavor to the golden Oreos. To the chocolate, no. Chocolate syrup and waffles is not –
okay,
that's
so
not correct.
The – The way that this is, it looks like that the cookie is like the, I guess, vanilla cookie.
Yeah, the golden one. Yeah.
Yeah, the golden one. And then there's some sort of a cream filling. And I guess there's sort of like a maple syrup center. So,
yes.
Okay. All right. So
it's a little bit of like
spotted.
The McGriddle of Oreos.
It sounds delicious, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
it says they've been spotted in Rhode Island for some reason. Hmm.
Rhode Island?
They'll be available in stores owned by Albertsons.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know. I couldn't find a lot of reliable sources on this. A
lot of buzz.
So you're thinking that this is the millennials punking us again?
Yeah, you got to be careful. Tread lightly on this waffle syrup story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Rhode Island. Well, we fortunately have a picture. We have a RHAP correspondent in Rhode Island, Stephen Fishback.
Oh, yes, on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe we could get in touch with him and have him spend a few days hunting these down since he's probably
yeah,
not
he's another roadie. Yeah. We send Steven out for waffle Oreos and then what? He can tell us? And I mean, do we know if he's some sort of like cookie connoisseur?
Well, he just needs to tell us, first of all, if they exist. And then from there, he can taste them and give us his 2 cents. Richard Hatch also lives out there, and he's willing to get involved on pretty much anything anybody asks him to do. So yeah. I feel like we could get him going, too.
Okay. Do they either of them shop at Albertsons?
Albertsons, to my knowledge, doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, Safeway?
That's what I thought. There's a lot about this story I don't really like, and I wish that there was a way for me.
The Albertsons group owns grocery stores, but none of them are named Albertsons, I believe.
Okay.
I'm looking at a picture of the container, and it just looks highly suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're saying news actual craptual news question mark?
Yeah. I mean, if you guys are looking at the same one I'm looking at.
But why? Who would put this out? Who stands to gain by Oreo having a flavor out there?
Okay, that's the wrong mentality, because you get on Facebook, you see this actual craptual news. A lot of it, nobody has anything to gain except for the kid in Macedonia writing the article.
Yeah.
So let me prime this for you, Rob. The story first appeared on an Instagram account called The Junk Food Aisle, mm-hmm. right? It was a user-submitted photo to this Instagram, which benefits off of wacky junk food.
Hmm.
So, I mean, if you're looking for a motive, you have an anonymous sender giving him an image. I mean, he doesn't even link to the guy's Instagram. He says, thanks to Brian in Rhode Island for sending in a photo, but it's just Brian, not at Brian or at anyone.
You have a motive and a suspect.
Okay.
And then if you look at the picture, the Oreos are highly blurred, like the package of Oreos, but the tag underneath the Oreos is incredibly sharp.
Yeah, so that's fair.
I'm telling you, it looks very suspicious.
Yeah, and it's like it's just like one package like on a shelf.
Yeah, it looks like bad Photoshop.
Yeah.
So until I get someone else who can confirm this, I'm going to say that this right now is not true.
You think it's
file okay. it in the crapshoot.
The actual crapshoot. Yeah. All right, so I guess we have a mission now for our listeners. All those roadies out there, if you spot the waffles and syrup Oreos, let us know.
Yeah.
The other thing is that if you look at all the people reporting on this, they're all very suspicious, like Delish, Teen Vogue, Thrillist, College Candy, Pop Sugar, The Impulsive Buy. Those are the websites that this is coming through. There's no Time Magazine or Wall Street Journal.
New York Times.
Does Time Magazine have an Oreo beat?
They should. Well, at least they should have someone in Rhode Island looking around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Time did have an Oreo section for a while, but I feel like, you know, when people kind of stopped talking about Time as the premier publication, I think that's around the same time they stopped covering Oreos.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, there's, you know, it just speaks to the lack of journalistic integrity we have at this point in time, that we have no Oreo beat in the mainstream media.
Yeah. You know what I call it, Rob?
What?
And I invented this term, and it's new, and it's kind of a thing that has only existed for a short time. I call it yellow journalism.
Yellow journalism, because these are dealing with the waffles and syrup Oreos.
These are, it's fake news, actual craptual news. Back in the day, they didn't have fake news, and so there was no term for it. Yeah. But now, today, I'm coining the term yellow journalism.
Well, by the way, the more I research this, junk food aisle is the only source anybody is quoting as having seen these cookies.
You know, it used to be every major newspaper in the country had at least four or five people on the snack beat. And now with the rising costs of running a newspaper, you're seeing a lot of these people let go.
There were great American novels written about the whole snacking industry, like The Jungle. Remember that book?
Yeah.
And now all the snack literature is kind of disappearing and fading. And then you come up with these yellow journalism avenues, making up fake stuff to try and fill the void in our hearts.
Right.
And it's a tease. It's a big tease.
Okay. All right. Well, in other news.
Sorry.
Wow. I feel like we've all kind
it
of
got
just.
Real.
It got
real. We just smashed someone's syrup waffle dreams. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Before we get to our next story, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor. And those are our friends at the Home Depot, who have the Samsung Flex Wash and Flex Dry Washer and Dryer pair, because these innovative appliances are the first ever to allow you to wash two loads and dry two loads of laundry at the same time in the same machine. Danny, this is like an idea that we should have thought of.
As many loads as possible. That's what I like to hear.
Okay. When you do your laundry, you don't have to mix the different colors and fabrics together. That would risk a color transfer or, even worse, fabric damage. FlexWash integrates a large capacity lower washer for the everyday stuff and the additional top washer for separate colors and delicates. Flex Dry integrates a large tumble dryer for the everyday items and a flat dryer for delicates. Both the washer and the dryer have a number of innovative features to make doing laundry easier for you and your clothes. Flex Wash has a steam wash for removing the stains and a self-clean to help keep the washer odor-free. That's important, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's you have a naturally pleasant odor about you all the time.
Yeah. But I think that most people prefer to stay odor neutral.
Yeah, I like that idea,
if
too.
If you can. FlexDry also features multi-steam to steam away odors and wrinkles, while SensorDry optimizes drying temperatures to avoid damage to your clothes. And both are Wi-Fi connected, allowing you to set and start the machines and receive an alert when the load is finished. Together, FlexWash and FlexDry offers the ultimate flexibility to provide the best possible care for your clothes. That's the Samsung FlexWash and FlexDry washer-dryer pair, available at Home Depot. Jessica Frey sends us a story about how Taco Bell is releasing its own structurally genius adaptation of a chicken nugget called the Naked Chicken Chip. It's essentially just a chicken nugget flattened like a tortilla chip, served with nacho cheese sauce so it can be dipped like a normal chip. Tyson, which is the superior chip, the naked chicken chip or the coffee tortilla chip?
Well, from a business standpoint and as a businessman, I obviously have to back my own product.
Mm-hmm.
But until the coffee chips come to market, you're free to eat the chicken chips.
Okay. Danny, are you interested in a flat chicken chip?
You know, I looked at the picture of these chicken chips dipped mm-hmm. in nacho cheese. I did salivate a little bit.
Yeah,
my glands opened up, and I could taste the nacho cheese in my mouth, very strong. The nacho cheese has a kind of imprint like Tyson does on children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where I just can't forget the
you
delicious.
You guys are going to get me on this list, and I do not.
The delicious taste.
I have a daughter,
of the nacho
guys.
Cheese.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you look at the difference between this story and the last one, people reporting on the chicken chip, USA Today, Cleveland.com,
mm-hmm.
Mashable.com,
but
far more reputable sites.
Cleveland, though, to be fair, is one of the probably most honest cities in the country.
We could trust whatever their
news
source says.
We can trust Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, though, why are they pigeonholing themselves to only nacho cheese dip? Why don't they have maple syrup dip? Then you got chicken and waffles. Get
oh,
it?
Blah, blah, yeah. Blah, blah, maybe, blah. Yeah, Roscoe's is going to come out with that.
I thought you were about to suggest that they use pigeon meat.
Pigeon meat.
Which they may be using pigeon meat.
I think they're using pigeon meat anyways. There's no proof that they are. And honestly, if you're a meat eater, what does it matter if it's pigeon or chicken?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? All meat is meat, correct?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I like to think, though, that chicken is eating grains, whereas the pigeon is eating garbage.
So you're recycling, actually, if you're eating pigeon and you're doing your turn to the planet even a little more.
Yes. Wait. Yes. Recycle, reuse, refashion, yeah. Whatever.
Right.
So they eat garbage. Point. You eat them. Garbage gone. Poof.
The circle of life.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
We make the garbage.
That is amazing.
The pigeons eat the garbage.
We make the garbage.
We eat the pigeons.
We eat the pigeons.
Yeah, we eat the garbage, basically.
Yes. Yeah. That's how it works.
By the way, someone in our Facebook group, and I haven't had time to check this, but we talked about edible utensils. Someone posted a story about edible spoons.
Yeah.
And I just love this idea. That
is that new?
Nachos, chicken chips. Yeah, chicken chips are basically edible utensils because you're using the utensil, the chicken chip, to dip in and scoop up that delicious yellow. You know? So that is an edible utensil right there, that
mm-hmm.
chicken chip.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll be on the lookout for the chicken chips coming to a Taco Bell near you. Here was a story sent to us by Aubra about a video from Japan that went viral when a member of the Pikachu dance troupe was being violently escorted off the stage when its suit started deflating during the performance. Tyson, as the resident Pokemon expert,
yes.
Did you have a chance to watch this?
I didn't watch it, but I feel like it did. And this is a United Airlines story again?
No.
Got him. Buzzing.
Yeah.
I watched this video, and at first I didn't read the headline. I was just watching the video. And I came up with a theory as to why he was violently rushed off the stage. If you have an audience full of children who believe that those Pokemon are real breathing Pokemon on stage,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what are they thinking if they see one die right in front of them?
Oh,
how
my
traumatic
goodness. And then get Pokemon tackled.
Well, I mean, it was deflating, so the thing was coming down. Yeah. His head was kind of slumping, and they run and grabbed him. If the kids had seen it completely deflate and like a man, and then it gave birth to a man... I mean,
right.
That would be horrifying
right.
for the children who are there at the Pokemon performance.
Violently escorting Pikachu off the stage sort of fits in the narrative of catch them all, right? Just a bunch of people are like, got one.
Got one. Oh, that's what they should do is they should have
just thrown those
violently
balls
escorted
at him
out with the ball. Yeah. Kaboom.
Yeah. They were trying
but
to
you
help
can't,
him.
You can't let the kids watch a Pokemon die right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right in front of themselves, you know? You got to get that thing off the stage.
Yeah. Should they have a better system to escort Pokemon off the stage like this?
Well, maybe they bring out a stretcher. you know, and they put the Pokemon on it, and then they take him backstage, and then maybe he reemerges once they've patched up the holes.
Yeah. I mean, why does the Pokemon suit need to be airtight?
Yeah, what? How does the guy breathe? Is he in there with an oxygen tank?
Yeah.
No, I bet they're those suits that have, like, the pump on them that's constantly...
Yeah, the fans constantly...
Yeah. So I don't think it's airtight. I think it's just once there's a hole that's too big that the fans inside can't keep it inflated.
Mm-hmm. Right. It might be like Danny's house and just stifling in there.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine the sweat in the Pokemon?
Yeah.
I bet it's horrible. I bet you those costumes smell so good.
Yeah.
Especially if the guy's been eating nothing but chicken chips and nacho cheese.
Yeah, Pokemon musk.
They sell it after the show. They just drain the suits into small little perfume bottles. And you can just spritz yourself.
Yeah. Okay, this is a story from a sandwich stop up in Vancouver that they heard Liam Neeson was shooting a film in their location, and they put a sign outside that said, "Liam Neeson eats here for free. Come in and get taken away with our sandwiches." And then that was effective Liam Neeson bait, Danny.
Well, it's a far more effective way of getting recognized by a movie star than eating hip picture of Liam Neeson.
Yes, yes. So you think that if the guy who's eating the picture every day of what is the guy's name from How I Met Your Mother?
Jason Segel.
Jason Segel, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If he was going to offer him a meal every day.
Yeah, I think that's far more effective.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Who doesn't want a free sandwich? I would love a free sandwich. Well, from a place that gets visited by a health inspector.
Yeah.
I don't want a sandwich from some stranger's home. That's not my idea of
right.
safe.
Now, what is the
I don't even want a
sandwich
from someone I know's home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I offered you a sandwich, you wouldn't eat it, and you'd be smart not to eat it.
Tyson, is there a local sandwich shop that could entice you to come in by a free sandwich?
Yes, and I've actually had local waffle stores and local popcorn shops offer me to come in, and I just haven't made the trek.
Popcorn
the waffle
shops.
Place is too far away. Yeah, no. There's a place that does that used to sell, I don't know if they're still around, they used to sell gourmet popcorn, and they were like, if you come in, we'll give you free popcorn.
What are the? Is it an Oreo waffle place that's trying to get you to come in?
No. Mm-hmm. It's a waffle truck. Oh. But
they can come to you.
Oh, wait. Maybe
that's
it's
true.
Not waffles. But whatever it is, maybe it's crepes or something like that.
I'm beginning to question your story. It's changing
quite a bit. It's in Salt Lake. But they're too far away for me to make the trek to get a free thing.
Yeah.
What about a coffee bagel? Coffee bagel for Rob.
For free, he would do it.
Do I have to go there, or are they going to bring it to me?
Yeah, you have to go there.
I mean, I'm not even that excited about it.
How the sandwich tastes.
Yeah, what is like, on the Liam Neeson sandwich, Danny?
I'm actually going to go right now and check that out.
Yeah. Tyson, can you design a Liam Neeson sandwich?
Oh, yeah, dude. A Liam Neeson sandwich. You've probably got some rusty roofing nails,
mm-hmm.
and then a bunch of like shards of glass mixed
some
with
hypodermic needles.
Why did he get such a gravelly voice?
That's just because he's hardcore, dude. And then you probably got like a bunch of different raw meats, because I'm assuming he's a raw meat type of guy, even no matter the meat. Probably raw pork because he's that badass.
Mm-hmm. Between two slices of rye bread, because that's gross.
Yeah, two slices of like the strongest rye bread and probably like the spiciest mustard you can have with
some
the hottest
cheddar.
Yeah, with the hottest sauce you can have.
Horseradish.
Yes. Yeah. Horseradish wasabi maybe. I feel like he's a fighter, so probably wasabi.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think the sandwich is named after him. I think he just got a free sandwich of his choice.
They should name that sandwich the Liam Neeson.
Yeah, they really should. Or call it the Taken.
The Taken. The Takenator.
The Taken.
Certified pure.
The Rob Roy. Did you already call it the Rob Roy?
No. But Rob Roy, that's already a drink, right?
Or the Schindler.
No.
What was his name when he was wearing it?
Don't.
What was his name when
he was wearing that?
What was his name when he was wearing the kilt? And that was Rob Roy.
Yeah.
Lots of things to choose from. He's got a
Qui-Gon
very long,
Jin.
Colorful career.
Yeah.
Sure. So lots of different options for the Liam Neeson sandwich. All right. We have some
but
updates.
But anyways, he came in, right?
What happened?
Yeah, he did.
And, he came in and had the, and got a free sandwich.
How many times?
I think just one.
Yeah, do you think he abused it? What if he went there, started going there too much, and then they have to ask him to leave and it became a police issue? It could get ugly.
Yeah.
Offering free stuff can turn out to be bad.
He could just be cheap also, Liam Neeson. That's possible.
Yeah. They probably regret that free sandwich if he's just eating there all the time. Yeah, now they can't get rid of it.
He goes in with his family for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And he's just like,
I'm back.
No, these 12 sandwiches are all for me. I promise, guys. You said I can eat for free.
That's the sign says binding. I can eat here for free.
Yeah. Your marquee, your marquee is binding, is contractually binding. So he goes in, takes snaps a picture of it. Yeah. In any law of court, this will hold up. Court of
especially
law.
Especially in Canada.
Right. All right. Some updates. Crayola has finally announced the new color that they are going to put in. They took out the dandelion yellow, and now they're going to add a bright blue. And they're asking fans to vote for the name of the new color on their website. And so they're offering $100 each week to a lucky person who submits a name suggestion. Danny, how's this going to go?
I thought we already covered this. We came up with Blue Yourself Early.
Yeah. But we've got new names now. No. What about the Bradley Charles Dickworth?
Yeah. Oh, well, could you make it Bradley Charles Blueworth?
Yeah. BCD Blue.
Yeah. BCD Blue. Okay, so you can send in the suggestion. So we talked about that they were getting rid of dandelion, and then we also talked about that they were possibly going to do a new blue, but we did not get as far as that they were having a name contest.
$100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$100 just for, like, that's like a drawing. Like, your name doesn't even have to be good or unique or anything.
Right. Is Bluey McBlueface going to be in the mix?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Okay, boy, they want a lot of information from you to get this blue idea.
Because they're making money off of all the information they're going to turn around and sell to the highest bidder.
Right.
So that's how they cover their $100 a week.
Yes. Now, is Crayola going to go for Blue AF? I feel like that was one that we talked about way back when.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blue AF. I think that's a great one.
Yeah, somebody should send that one in.
Blue AF.
You can split the money with us on that.
But, yeah, or even, yeah, split it so we get, 90% and they take the other 10%?
They should get at least 20, I think.
Okay. There's three of us plus one of them.
Okay.
They can each get, 25% of the cash.
That's fair. That is fair. Okay, so there you go. Go to Crayola.com to enter into that contest. And another update, we talked about the McDonald's Coke. Tyson made an impassioned plea about why McDonald's Coke is the best, right? Or was that you, Danny? Yep.
Robbie.
It was me. I talked about how it tastes better, and Tyson challenged me to a taste test.
Okay.
And then I said, why don't you go taste it for yourself?
Okay.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of feedback about this, and we were sent an article from Business Insider about why McDonald's Coke tastes better.
Okay, let's read it. Storage.
Yes.
They're kept in stainless steel containers. Check. I said that. Water filtration. I didn't mention that. Okay. Temperature, check. The syrup is also chilled.
Yeah.
And the straw is wider, which I did mention briefly.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like I might be the McDonald's expert in this panel.
Officially. All right. Congratulations to Danny, the McDonald's expert.
Finally, something I can tell my mom.
Yeah.
Make her proud.
Okay. So what is Burger King doing to counteract this?
They're staging fake drive-through Instagram posts.
Yeah.
What else? They did something else recently we talked about.
Yeah, they need to bounce back, Tyson.
They did. Did they do the girlfriend? That was the girlfriend-boyfriend fight?
Yeah.
About how the guy got busted.
They did a bunch of stuff. So you're saying that Burger King needs to get back on top of McDonald's? They've never been on top of McDonald's.
Well, how can they? What can they be doing?
They could try. Do you think if they got the king to back Pacquiao in the big fight?
Mm.
They already did that. Or was it,
Yao
did
Man?
He back the other guy?
No.
No. What?
The king, the king, I don't know. I think, first of all, they should get rid of the king, right? Monarchy was never really, it's not, hasn't been cool in America for a while.
Okay, all right. So we're on to something. Okay, so no more Burger King. You want to be Burger President?
Yeah, maybe. More democratic system. I don't know about that, Danny. Well, it could, yeah. Democracy, it's definitely got its downsides, but here in America, We're not into the monarchy.
I think the king is hilarious. Like, their costume king, he's like creepy, he's big, he's weird looking. They don't have him doing enough hilarious things. Mm-hmm. Like, why isn't he doing like extreme sports in the costume? Like, why don't they hire like a skateboard pro to go in and do some cool half pipe stuff? Why aren't they having him like run around and prank people? Why
fighting people on United Airlines flights?
Yeah, like that would be awesome, dude.
Okay, maybe so you want the fight Burger somebody. King like running on the field during sporting events and stuff like that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, with his pants off.
By the way,
yeah, with his.
Do we have an update on how many retweets for Carter for the Nugs? I feel like that petered out.
Nugs for Carter.
Yeah,
I feel like he probably has beaten the world record at this point.
No,
because it's been long enough.
Well, but he topped out. I think 3.4 million, and nowhere near 18 at this point.
Yeah, but how much does the world record tweet have? Is he the new world record tweet?
I'm not sure how many retweets for the world record tweet.
Because that was like around 3.5-ish, so he's getting close to the Ellen DeGeneres tweet.
Yeah,
you know what the king should do? The king should challenge Ronald McDonald to a boxing match.
I think McDonald, as the leader right now, would not accept that deal.
Yeah, he doesn't have to.
But then he could just be like out there talking about how, oh, Ronald McDonald is such a wuss.
I'm challenging him publicly to a fight.
He's afraid of me.
Here's what you can do.
He's hiding. Listen, He can't handle this.
Yeah, it's a classic tactic.
Couldn't you, as Burger King, just get a Ronald McDonald suit made up and do the fight without McDonald's consent? And then if they get angry, you could just, under parody law, protect yourself.
Or they should have paid.
I got that idea. I got it. This is what they need to do. This is what Burger King needs to do. Or anybody could do it, but I feel like Burger King could benefit because they have the character right now. Anything that goes viral, they immediately get on the next day and recreate something similar. Like the family that got kicked off the Delta flight, they could have had like a whole family of Burger Kings like the next day mimicking getting kicked off a flight too, and just put some hilarious twist on it. Or like the fight on the airplane, that could be a Burger King and a McDonald's or something, a Ronald McDonald, the king getting dragged off the plane. That they don't all have to be plane related, but that's just where my mind is at right now.
So you guys feel like that the issue here for Burger King is that not enough viral marketing, not enough stunts?
Yeah, Wendy's is crushing the Twitter game, and people are really pleased with like Wendy's like Twitter battles. So the king needs to find their own thing, and I think the viral videos, like jump on and recreate the latest viral news story the next day with the king at character in that viral video.
Or they need to up their game on strange foods.
Yeah,
you know, like start putting together like, I don't know. I can't. I'm not that creative.
I got it.
I mean, they're reverse, kind of falling back.
The reverse Whopper, where it's meat as the bun and bun as the meat.
Would that be messy though?
Doesn't matter.
A messy bun.
Wacky foods. No one cares about whether or not it's practical. You just need to have the wacky meal, limited run only, to get the attention.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like shoes made out of meat.
Right. So you feel like that Burger King is focusing on like Instagram and stuff like that, but they're not.
I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, I got it. I got their exact thing they need. Have you guys ever had the Burger King French toast sticks deep fried? French toast sticks. Those are like their best breakfast item.
Okay.
So if you put those on a burger, either like, you know how some people put French fries on a burger, put French toast sticks on a burger, or have the variation of the French toast stick be the bun of the burger.
Oh.
I feel like a little bit of sweet with the savoriness of the burger would be a grand slam. Are you kidding me? The salty sweet thing has been a thing for a long time, but burgers have not capitalized on it.
Celebrate the French election with our new French toast burger.
Yeah.
By the way, it's a monarchy, so we know how that turned out for the French. Maybe not point too hard to French history and politics, because the king might be
Right.
They invented the guillotine.
What about burger CEO? What do we get out of politics?
The what? The burger CEO?
Yeah, instead of Burger King.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh. Yeah. No, because then he's an appointed official.
Mm-hmm.
See, McDonald's is like an oligarchy. Like, Ronald is there, but he's also surrounded by a cadre of other powerful figures, Grimace. And
they balance each other out, because while one of them, Mayor McCheese, is trying to protect the burgers, the Hamburglar is trying to take the burgers. And the balance, there's a triple power of balance that balances out the government.
How about the Burger Parliament?
Burger Parliament.
We need a Burger Parliament.
So the king is more of a celebrity role, right? He's out there doing good deeds and stuff.
Kissing babies, shaking hands.
Yeah, exactly. But the Parliament is making all of the burger decisions.
Based on the desires of the people.
Okay.
Just a thought. I mean, they need to do something because McDonald's is too entrenched, so they can't fight them on that front.
I mean, Parliament is a popular cigarette, so I feel like that there is some cachet to the name.
Yeah, there is.
Like, sort of like ride on the popularity of the cigarette.
Of the Parliament cigarettes, of big tobacco.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then maybe get Philip Morris involved. Is Philip Morris the creator of Parliament cigarettes? I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm not sure. So, all right, some interesting ideas for Burger King. But yeah, they are losing ground every week that we go along here.
I'm telling you, the French toast incorporated into a burger is the best. I'm almost considering tweeting them and being like, hey, just give me like $2 million for this idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to tweet them
Sounds reasonable.
Okay.
Can everybody retweet me? I'm going to retweet this and pin it. And I'm going to
I'm in. I'm in. How many retweets do we need to make the French toast burger?
18 million.
To consider it done. Danny, got anything in the bolt hole this week?
I do. I've got a couple things. Let me just go into my bolt hole and take these out. Now, the first one, we try to uncover a lot of the fake news swirling about, you know. And Facebook, we know they've tried to tackle it. And they're doing it a different way, because with the upcoming elections in the UK, the Facebook has put out a print ad, a full page print ad, telling people how they can recognize fake news. Now, obviously, the best way is to listen to this podcast. Mm-hmm. I think we educate people, we uncover fake news, but if you're into print, which old people are, and I assume a lot of old people are getting tricked constantly by fake news, they have this ad here, and it says, first of all, they highlight a couple ideas you can do, and users are told to be skeptical.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if they include shocking claims that sound unbelievable. I can't understand why people are being told. Oh, these things. This should come default with the human brain, right? You eat boogers, you should avoid things that sound unbelievable.
Yeah.
Isn't that like a classic thing? Too good to be true? Isn't that something you hear since birth?
Yeah.
I mean, who are the people that don't understand those three things?
Yeah, I mean, by its definition, unbelievable are things that you should not believe.
Like a syrup and waffle Oreo? Unbelievable. I'm going to double check that. Right? That's a shocking claim that somebody's made.
Yeah, you shouldn't just go out there and report something like that.
So I don't know if this will actually help, but this was something in my bolt hole that I wanted to share with everybody.
Are they still doing the thing where it's like there's like a banner that says, this seems like suspicious. This looks like fake news.
You know what's going to be terrible is if aliens ever visit this planet with all of this attention on fake news, and I know we kind of touched upon this in the past, it's going to be so hard to know what to believe.
Right? Yeah.
Until you've got a plasma.
The truth is out there,
Danny. Your head.
Yeah. This is what's going to happen. Aliens are going to look back and be like, there was some type of supreme being who lived among them who did miracles, and like people were writing about it and it was crazy. And we will call this the Bible. And then they'll be like, oh, wait, they already have a book kind of like that. We got to name this something else.
So they're bringing to us a book of fake news, what you're saying the aliens are, that they wrote themselves in order
to power
over us?
500 years into the future, the aliens come and look at the burned ashes, the Pompeii's all over the world, digging up ash and fake news, finding hard drives, getting it aliens- all pieced together, and they pieced together the way we existed, and it will not resemble anything of
they
our
won't get it
true
right.
lives.
Yeah, yeah
they
okay,
will not
if
get
we're
it right.
not here to help the aliens understand fake news, think of all the things outside. You talk about the Bible, but they're going to think this was a crazy place because of all the fake news. Because they won't have anyone to help them understand.
Right, they won't know what was real news and what was fake news.
Okay, guys, now I have a story, okay?
Yeah.
And I've double-checked it, and as far as I can tell, it's on the up and up. And there was now you know that for forensic science, they put out dead bodies.
Sure.
And they watch the bodies decompose.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Tyson, are you kidding with me? You've never heard this?
So you donate your body to science. They put it out there, let it decompose. Then they can measure, and then they can kind of know crime scenes when they happen based on the stuff they learned from decomposing.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Very well.
Makes sense.
So they also do this with human remains to see how scavengers affect human remains. And they a place in, I think, Texas caught a deer eating human remains.
Oh, my God.
A zombie deer?
Yeah, this is terrifying.
Oh, my God. And all this time I've been like, oh, deer are harmless. I'm going to sneak up and get a good picture of
They're
it.
Nice.
And all the time, that deer, it has the bloodlust and thirst for my flesh that I thought was not even possible of a deer.
Yeah. Listen to this. In the picture, they have lots of pictures because it's a camera they leave on the corpse. There's a deer looking straight at the camera with a creepy look
on
its face.
Wait, they put a GoPro on a dead body?
No, they have they're called
trail cams. Sensor.
The motion sensor. The deer is looking directly at the camera with a human rib in its mouth.
Oh.
I wonder if it's sending a message.
Yeah.
It is sending a message. Opposed. It's like, as more and more of you are going vegetarian, we are going carnivore.
Yeah. The decomposer.
Are we seeing an evolutionary shift from, foliage to meat?
Right. Well, I mean, for years, the hunters were winning, but now the deer strike back. It's like the, premise of a horror movie.
Yeah. This is an interesting development. I'm telling you, look at this picture of that deer. His eyes are black and soulless, and he's just staring right at the camera with the human remains in his mouth.
Yeah. Wow.
So be careful. You don't know.
Watch
Next
out.
Time you see that deer out there,
yeah.
That's not Bambi. That's a carnivorous beast that's going to trample you and gnaw your remains.
Do we know that do deer – have they killed people and then eat the person? Are they hunting humans for food or they're just scavenging for food?
Until now, we haven't even suspected deer.
Yeah.
They're the vultures of the cloven hoof family.
Now, in fairness to the deer, there is a lot of overpopulation in the human community. And so deer, they're just doing their part to just sort of thin the herd a little bit. Right.
Humans are a renewable source of food for the deer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've wised up to that.
Yeah. They're like, well, vegetables are only going to be around for a certain number of years if the humans keep moving forward as they're going. But if we're eating humans to control the population, we're also hitting on a renewable resource. And in the future, we may keep our vegetables as a byproduct of this meat eatery that we're now doing.
Okay.
This is crazy because we shoot deer for population control, right? And now the deer are doing it to us. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Balances out.
It all balances out. The circle of life is really a circle.
Right.
Lessening karma.
We eat a lot of garbage. Then the deer eat us. The deers eat the garbage.
Then,
yeah.
And then we eat the deer. And by one degree, we're carnivores.
We're cannibals.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. We are, what's the word? Cannibals.
Yeah.
I just said cannibals.
I thought you said carnivores.
Oh,
yeah.
I
this
did?
Is kind of terrifying. I wonder if hunters are going to take a whole new look. You know, when they shoot that deer, are they also eating some of their relatives?
Here's the thing: a lot of domestic animals too learn from the actions of wild animals, or is it vice versa? Either way, if a cow watches a deer eat a human, will that cow then be like, "Oh, I never knew you could do that"? And then pretty soon, farmers will be disappearing everywhere, and we won't know why.
Tyson,
and it will be this huge thing until finally on a trail cam, we catch a cow eating its own farmer.
Tyson, who kills more humans, sharks or cows?
Cows.
Cows, by I think a pretty large margin.
See,
they kill a lot of people.
But do they eat them?
Well, maybe they don't ever get time to just kind of gnaw on them, but they definitely tenderize the people they kill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all okay. the time,
that's prep work.
Everybody's concerned about, oh, the robots are going to get us. The robots are going to get us. And this whole time under our nose, it's the animals that are going to rise up.
It's the vegetarian. We need to build what we the thought robots, were the vegetarian
finish getting
animals.
The robots built to protect us from the animals.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. dude.
Mm-hmm.
Even okay, cyborgs, so, like a RoboCop style dude, could probably protect us from the deer.
Yeah, we need to get some of those robots built. Forget all these sex robots that everybody's working on. We need to be working on the protecting robots,
or
well,
maybe
are.
Like a maybe like a decoy bait robot that just runs around just like half a mile like, per hour faster than a deer can
right,
run.
Right,
with a Lady Gaga meat dress on.
Yeah, dude,
it's a good idea,
but not venison.
No, no.
No, of course not. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great job with all of the news stories. We covered so much ground today.
Oh, geez. We went from point A to point B to point Z back to point A. It was just like a roller coaster of education.
It really was. Are we going with the hashtag sloth tank?
Yeah, I think so. Sloth
tank. Or sloth terrarium.
Or blue AF.
I think we might have used that already.
Or
did we use that when we talked about Crayola last time?
Or French toast sticks Whopper.
French toast. Well, you're going to make your own tweet about that. We're all going to retweet.
I already did.
Oh, okay.
Retweet it, guys, because if we get a bunch of backing and we get 2 million, we will continue to do this podcast for an unlimited amount of time until you beg us not to.
Hold on. So we're going to continue to do this podcast for an unlimited amount of time until you beg us not to. Okay.
If Burger King reads our tweet, decides to make the sandwiches, sends me a check for $2 million. That will be enough to back this podcast until all three of us die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
I don't know. I have a lot of expenses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So for at least 50 years.
Yeah. I mean, those sex robots cost $15,000. I mean, for all three of us, that's a pretty big chunk of money to begin with.
We're really each getting our own.
Well, we're going to share one, and then we're finished with it. We mail it off to the other person.
Yeah.
Kind of like a chain letter.
Sure.
Yeah.
A chain bot. Right.
Or like, and custody. If you don't, you get 7 years bad luck.
Right. I mean, the robot is okay with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Robot doesn't
but
mind.
The robot could walk to Rob's house.
Yeah.
We don't even have to send it anywhere. Just be like, go to Rob's.
I mean, it can ride a train. It can like get on a bus.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, if, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, would it have to charge itself at the Tesla chargers?
Yeah, I think so.
Which would be disturbing, right?
Right.
What if it pulls out that we should invent a robot just for humor's sake that's charging dock is on its crotch. So it walks up to the Tesla thing and then it's like, plug in. And people are like, and that would really put a damper on the guys who think they're so cool at the charging stations with their
Tesla. So this is our first pitch
Tesla.
On Sloth Tank.
Mm-hmm.
It's the crotch-charged robot for humor only.
Okay. Yeah, and that's the only thing it's for. Or it could be on the butt. Like, either way, like, the charging cable goes, attaches on one of those sides.
Hmm. Yeah.
Is that good? Is that okay, Rob?
Okay. So, again, so we started with this was a sex robot that was being transferred around. This is just now a joke robot.
It's a joke robot to distract people from the real issues.
Yeah.
And it will go viral, dude. So, listen to this. Listen to this.
Yeah, Burger King might want to get in on this.
We make the video where, we make the video where Tesla, he shows the Tesla driver roll up and he looks over and there's this robot like with his pelvis thrusted out with the charging cable coming straight out of his crotch. And he's like, and then we contact Burger King and we're like, we're going to release this video like in 2 hours. Do you want to get something similarly made up with a Burger King in it? And they're like, yeah, we do. They make their own mock one. We release the viral one that gets like, I don't know, 20 billion hits on YouTube within like 6 hours. Then Burger King releases theirs like 2 hours into it. And that one gets not as many, but probably like 2 billion views.
Why not just turn the king into a robot? He charges through his crotch. And when the guy pulls up to charge and looks over at him, his gut opens up and he's got a warm whopper that he hands to the Tesla driver.
A French toast whopper.
Yeah, French toast whopper.
Okay. Burger King, are you listening?
Have it your way.
To the people.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Have it your way. Although nothing about that is someone getting it their way.
Are you sure? Because that Tyson would be my way. I named the way, and so I think that that would be our way.
The way is through a king, a crotch-charged king who serves you a burger that comes from his abdomen. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You got it.
Okay.
Okay, that's the way.
All right. Good job, Burger King. Thank us later. All right. Well, great stuff, Tyson. Do we have any reviews this week?
Yeah.
Sure, we'll have many after this.
A bunch. It's great. 5 stars by Honest Opinion 1235.
Yeah.
It's great. That's it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, thank you.
Nope, 1, 2, 3, 5. Honest Opinion 1, 2, 3, 5.
1, 2, 3, 5. Okay.
I did not understand when that review started or ended. It was very confusing.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you flipped it in exact reverse, it's an anagram of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
Works. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That
I think that's it.
That's it.
All right. Well, great job once again, Tyson Apostle and Danny Bryson. We covered it all. We started with eating boogers and ended with crotch charging robots. So I think that we've really gotten to everything this week.
I feel like we have.
Okay. Another
week gone by.
Another week gone by. Looking forward to getting back into everything back on our regular Tuesday time. That works for you guys?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll be here.
All right. So we'll be back next Tuesday. Of course, follow Tyson on Twitter and social media at Tyson Apostle, and Danny is at Danny Bryson. I'm at Rob Cesarinos. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for the edit of this wonderful podcast and to News AF intern Lita for putting together all the stories, even a day early. That come rain nor shine, Lita's on top of curating all of your stories from Tips at News AF and also in our group, AF Facebook group. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.